We'll preach out of Genesis chapter 3 and that dealing with the devil tonight. Now he is he's sneaky, he's diabolical. As a matter of fact, that's what that word diabolical means. If you the Spanish language actually, if you look up what the Spanish word of the devil is, it's diablo. And so that's where we get our, I believe that's where part of our word of diabolical comes from. And that means devilish or having a way of the devil about it. And he is diabolical. There is no doubt about that. But in Genesis chapter 3, as we deal in that with Adam and Eve and with the serpent, as he come into the garden here, and that to tempt Eve, and we find that it's no different today than it is in this time right here. As we begin to read in Genesis chapter 3, I begin to read in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that thou eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, even thy belly, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Let me park right here for just a second and say, if you notice something right here that come to pass was sorrow. Sin showed up, and sorrow wasn't too far behind it. If you notice that, he said unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. You see right here with Adam, he said, thou shalt eat of it, cursed the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We pray that you'd help us while we might preach. We certainly need a touch from you. Lord, we certainly do need you to come by in this church house tonight and just anoint us afresh. And Lord, just give us the words that these folk that are going to be listening, that will be watching, need to hear. But we preached on the devil many times, but we don't want to lean on all those other messages. We want to lean on you tonight. And Lord, we pray that for some folk out there being deceived and trying to be destroyed in that by the devil, Lord, I pray they look up to you tonight. And beg out and call out unto you for help and begin to live for you. And Lord, just resist the devil. And we know that he'll flee when we submit to you and resist. Now, Lord, I pray that you might save the one that might be lost that's listening. Lord, that you'd help the one that needs help tonight. We'll give the glory for it all. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As we look here in this passage of Scripture, I think most of us knows the story and that of the serpent. When he became, or when he came, and that, by golly, we understand that that's Satan, the devil. If you and that go to the book of Revelation chapter 12, and Revelation chapter 20, you'll find that he's called the devil, he's called Satan, he's called that old serpent, and we call him Slewfoot sometimes. And listen, we know that he's up to no good. We understand that. The whole idea of his appearance in this chapter right here was to get man and act to disobey God. He was trying to get man and act to sin and leave the fellowship and the friendship and that of God. Can I say in the short message tonight that it's the same way today, friend, that God, that the devil wants to ruin our relationship and our friendship and that with the Heavenly Father that we have through the blessed Lord Jesus Christ tonight. He's out to ruin homes. He's out to ruin families. He's out to ruin churches. Listen, in men and women's and boys and girls' lives, he's out to ruin. And he's doing a fine job of it tonight. Listen, I wouldn't want to be nowhere around where the devil's at, where he's been, where he might be at. I won't be nowhere around that, friend, because I'm telling you, he is a dangerous and that subject tonight. And I want you to get a hold of that tonight, that the devil is always up to no good. It don't matter what kind of sin he presents or what's presented in front of you. There's always a judgment day coming, a payday coming, and it's always going to be no good. Listen, he wants to keep men and women and that from following and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. What was it that he said the Apostle Paul did in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4? He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them which are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Listen tonight, the devil and that wants to keep the truth and that of the gospel away from men and women tonight so that they can't get saved. I want to look at four things and that about the devil tonight. Three of them, I think, or all four of them you should know tonight. But first of all, number one, in this passage of Scripture, we find out that the devil is deceitful. That word deceitful means to mislead and that to the mind. You know, everything that you do against God starts in your mind. Everything that you do for God starts in your mind, and it works into your heart. Listen, if we're serving God, He'll take it and get it in our mind and get it in our heart and begin to work on us and get us headed in the right direction if we'll follow. But listen tonight, what the devil wants to do is mislead your mind and cause you to err. He wants you to cause to err and that from the truth tonight. He wants you to believe what is false. The devil is a liar tonight. Listen, the Bible said in John chapter 8 and verse 44, "Give your father the devil, and the lust of your fathers you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks of a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Listen tonight, they had not known lying until Satan showed up. They had not known untruth until Satan showed up. Listen tonight, because of what Adam and Eve done, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but because of what Adam and Eve done tonight, they dropped the whole world. Adam dropped the whole world, all humanity, off into sin tonight. And that's why you don't have to teach your children how to sin. You have to teach them how to tell the truth. But listen, that sin nature is born into them when they're birthed. Listen, David said in Psalms 51, "In sin did my mother conceive me." Listen, we're born sinners because of Adam tonight. But they had not known that until Satan showed up. And so he is deceitful tonight. In the very first deceit that he come in, he slipped in here in verse 1, and the Bible called him subtle. He's slick. He's using a cunningness about him. And the Bible said right here, the very first thing that he done, I was begin to question what God said. Now most of y'all know this message. Listen, if you studied anything about Genesis chapter 3, you know that the very first thing is he trying to get Eve to doubt what God said. He said, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree, out of every tree of the garden. Well, if you go back up to verse 17, or in verse 16 of chapter 2, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So here comes Satan, and he said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Yeah, that's right. That's what he said. He said, you can eat of every tree except one. And so here comes Satan, and he comes in, and he begins to plant a seed of doubt by deceitfulness in the mind of Eve. And if you look in verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Now, a lot of people give Eve a hard time right there because it said right there that she said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, I don't know. The Bible just tells over here in verse 16-17 that they were not to eat of it. Now, I don't know if she added, you shouldn't touch it. I don't know if Adam told her, don't you go over there, don't eat it, don't even touch it. Don't even get close enough to touch it. A lot of people give her a hard time since she added something to it. But I'll be honest with you, I think that would be a good addition if we could say it that way. Listen, the problem with a lot of people is they're not going to eat at it, but boy, they want to go over there and they want to look at it, and they want to be close to it, and they want to touch it. But you know what happens, friend? If you get around it long enough, and close enough to it long enough, and begin to touch it long enough, you'll eat at it before it's over with. And so I don't know where that portion comes from right there, but I do know this, that it would have been good if she wouldn't have touched it. I can tell you that right now. So Satan comes in and he begins to make her doubt what God said. I think a lot of times he wants folk to doubt what God said today. Did God really mean what he said right here? Did God really mean when he said that it's good for a man not to touch a woman? We'll go back to that touching thing. I can't get that off my mind. Over there in the book, I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 7, where he talks about, did God really mean? Yeah, he really meant that when he said it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Did he really mean it when he said that evil communications corrupt good manners? Sure he did. Did he really mean in John 14:6 when he stood out there and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Is God so narrow-minded that there's only one way to get to him? Yeah, there is. But yet Satan, in his deceivableness and his doubt and causing doubt, you find, friend, that he begins to prick in the minds of men and women a doubt that stems up, and they say, did God really mean what he said? I think back in the 70s and in the 80s, the Southern Baptists had a problem in the convention of determining the truthfulness of the Word of God. And you had liberals and you had conservatives, and those that really didn't want to be called liberals, they wanted to be called moderates. But the problem all stemmed around in the infallibility and the truthfulness of God's Word. Did he really mean what he said? The question comes down to this, did God even say it? I mean, yea, hath God said? Did God really say that? Thank you. If you're watching this today, some of you out there want to pick and choose this book. It don't work that way. You're either going to pick a dollar or you're going to pick none of it. You can't live by part of it and not have it all tonight. So he begins to question what God's saying. Is there another way? Could you really just not eat of that tree? And so after he talked to the woman and she gave him the answer here and said, of the trees of the fruit of the garden we can eat, but we're not to eat of this one right here. Because if we do eat of this one right here, we're going to die. And by the way, that's what happens with sin. For the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. The Bible said in verse 4, though, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So now we've went and that from casting doubt on what God said and that to deceiving her and lying to her about what God said. Because the serpent said, ye shall not surely die. Well, we go back to verse 17 of chapter 2. From the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Who can you believe? Can you believe the Lord or can you believe Satan? Can you believe the one that spun everything into creation and gave us this living book that's in front of us? Or the one that has always made man and that to doubt what God said and lies and connives and is diabolical? Hey, we know how the devil is. Anytime that anything begins to draw you away and that from the Lord, and begins to draw you away and that from the truthfulness and that of Scripture, it's against God and it's of the devil. So he comes and he begins with a little simple doubt. And then he begins, or after that, he has a great big lie. And he says, you won't die. As a matter of fact, your eyes will be opened and you'll become as God's. You'll be so wise that you'll become as God's. So he appealed and that to her flesh, if you would let me say that. How do you know that, preacher, that he appealed and that unto her flesh? Because the Bible said in verse 6, and when the woman saw, so she sees, and you know, seeing always gets people in trouble a lot of times, don't it? I mean, the woman saw. What got Achan in trouble over in Joshua chapter 7? When they went in to Jericho, what got him in trouble? What did he tell Joshua? He said, I saw. He said, I saw the silver and the gold and the good Babylonian garment, and I coveted them. I saw. What got David in trouble? He saw. He saw Bathsheba washing herself, and that on the rooftop, it got him in trouble. Hey, you better be careful what you're seeing today. What got her in trouble is that she saw, when a woman saw, that the tree was what? Good for food. So it's good to eat. Now, no doubt Satan has been, I can't prove this, you can throw this portion out. No doubt he's been talking to her. He said, look, it's going to open your eyes, make you as gods. You can eat of this thing. I mean, it's a tree that you can eat of. And she saw that it was good and that for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. It was a good tree to look at. A good fruit that it produced. I always thought about it being an apple tree, but I have no idea what it was. And then after that, it said, in a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now the Bible tells us right here that she was beguiled. The Apostle Paul tells us that she was beguiled. She was deceived into doing it. But when Adam come along and she's holding that apple in her hand, when he comes along and she shows it to him, he takes it. He willingly done it. Adam is a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he was the first Adam. The Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Apostle Paul, was the last Adam. You know, in the first Adam, all are made sinners, but in the last Adam, all are made alive. You know, when Adam come, I have no doubt. I have no doubt when she ate of that fruit, those things about her changed. I have no doubt the way she looked. Maybe even the color of her skin, because now she's got sin in her life. I have no idea what she looked like, friend, after sin crept in. But he come by and partook of that fruit, and he done it willingly. Why? Because he loved his wife. Now let me ask you, why did the Lord Jesus Christ come from heaven and was willing to partake of that cup of sin willingly when he was perfect and had no sin? Why? Because of the love for his wife, the church, the bride of Christ tonight. So here, the serpent has beguiled Eve. He has deceived her, and she has taken the bait. It was the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life that got her. What was it in Little John? I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him. That is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. I will understand that's how you overcome him after a while. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so she done it to be made wise. You can go back and look in 1 Corinthians 1 and Romans chapter 1. Especially in Romans chapter 1, that is, after they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God. They become wise in their own self. The Bible said they become fools. As I began to look at this and study this, I thought, you know, if He is lying to her and trying to deceive her and make her doubt, He's trying to keep her away from the truth. The truth is what you need. That's what I need. The truth. Are we not always looking for the truth? I mean, you know, a lot of people always say, well, that's when you get philosophy rooted down to its deepest and its, how would you put this, to its simplest meaning. It's all about truth. What is truth? John 17:17 said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. It's that book right there. What was the one thing, the very first thing that Satan came out on the scene and said? Yea, hath God said. So he wanted to deceive her about what God said. He wanted to deceive her about what God wanted her to do. You know, that's what Satan wants to do to you today. He wants to deceive you about how to run your home and run your family and the order of the family, how that dad is the head of the home and mom and the children. And listen, I know that she's not to be, mom and the children are not to be door rags and doormats and right. No, that ain't it. But listen, that there is an order to the home. There's an order to the church. Listen tonight and now how that we're to love one another and all these things. And Satan wants to ruin. I destroy that truth tonight. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He wants you in that to study and to know the word of God. Boy, in the day that we're living in, we're all wanting the truth, ain't we? I've had to swear the news off because I get tired of watching the news. It changes from day to day. I mean, talking about the COVID-19, it changes from day to day. I mean, they don't know, they ain't sure where it come from. They don't know what it's going to cause. Don't know how long we'll have to do this and do that. It's a fluid movement. I understand that. And it's always going to change. But people get tore up with that stuff. But yet, if we knew the truth, you know, if you know the truth, you can bank on the truth. You can build a foundation on the truth. You can rest in the truth. That's why I love God's book. As Jacob was teaching in Sunday school, talking about the King James Bible, I've got a final authority in front of me. You don't have to question. You don't have to wonder about it. You just got to line up with it. Maybe that's your problem tonight. Maybe you just don't want to line up with it. Ain't this exciting tonight, amen? Wish they had a church full of people to say amen right there. I have to get Miss Bethany with her amen sign that she makes, amen. But he's deceptive. Satan is deceptive. He'll lie to you. And he wants to draw you away from God
with that lie. Number two, Satan is dirty. That word dirty means foul and nasty and filthy and not clean and not pure. As I thought about this and talked about being dirty, I thought about how he fights dirty. Growing up, one of my dad's sayings, if somebody wasn't doing exactly right or if they were being a little crooked about things, he'd say they're playing dirty pool, you know, and that was being, if you ever played any pool, and boy, we're getting way out here now, but if that means that you're doing wrong and playing that game, you were cheating, in other words. And let me say tonight that Satan is dirty in everything that he does. He's filthy. He's nasty. But when it comes to the fight, there's no rules in fighting with him. I mean, he'll kick you while you're down. I mean, most of my church has heard me say that a handful of times. That Satan will kick you while you're down. You know, if you're fighting a fight, most of the time the opponent, once he gets you down, he'll leave you alone once you're down. He knows that you're beat, but not the devil. If we look in Luke chapter 4 tonight, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and that being tempted. And the Bible said, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command that this stone be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for this, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will I give it. Now I want you to understand what he said right there. He took the Lord up into a great mountain, into a high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So he went from the beginning of time all the way down and back to the very time of Christ. And I almost think that past Christ, all the kingdoms that will be, he showed all of them to him. And here's what he said. All this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. You know, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4, going back to verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. He does get the praise of this world. He does have the glory of this world. He said, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. And he said, look, he said, if thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. What did he do? What did Satan do? He caught him at his weakest point and at his weakest time. I believe in those 40 days he was tempted of Satan. And I believe at the end of those 40 days, I believe that when he was presented with what? The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. While he was hungered, he was tempted. When he was down at a lowest point, he was tempted. Don't be surprised when you get low and Satan show up. Don't be surprised when you try to set everything right in your life and Satan show up. You tell the Lord, I mean, you crawl up around your altar here, the altar of the house, or wherever your altar may be, and you say, Lord, I just want to do things right. I want my family right. I want to be right. I want my home right. I want my church right. I just want to be right with you. I want my Bible reading to be right. I want my prayer life to be right. I mean,
I want to love my wife right, my husband right, my children right. I mean, you tell him all these things and you said everything right. Don't be surprised when he comes knocking. So what did he do right here? I told you he's dirty at what he does. He fights dirty. So he catches him at his weakest point. And the very first thing that he does, and the Bible said, and after these 40 days, he was a hungered. And the very first thing that Satan appealed to, and that was his natural flesh of his hunger. And he said, if you're the Son of God, command that this stone be made bread. All he had to say was, be bread, and it would have been bread. That's it. Just been bread. And he could have ate. But it was by Scripture that he fought the devil. He said, it's written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So we come to the next time over here, and he takes him up to the high mountain, and he tells him he can have all this glory if he would just worship. He said, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So we come to the third time that he is tempted, and he takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple, and he says, why don't you, he said, if you'll just jump down. He said, he brought him to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. He said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. Then guess what he done? He used Scripture, didn't he? Here's what Satan done. He said, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. He's over in the book of Psalms chapter 91, and that's exactly what Psalms 91 said. He said, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. But if you read that scripture, the text inside the context, he's talking about when you're in a battle, how that the Lord is going to handle that and take care of you, not if you go up and you tempt the Lord. And so that's exactly what he said in verse 12, that it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So he fights dirty. Now let me park right here and say something. Do you ever wonder why the devil wants you to doubt what God said and doubt His Word? How else are we going to defeat him without God's Word? I'll get there in just a minute. But I thought I'd throw that in there in just a little bit. He lies, he cheats, he kicks you while you're down, and he does everything to destroy you that he can. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He said, well, preacher, the devil don't bother me. I'd wonder then if I, one, I'd wonder if I was saved. Two, I was wondering if I was serving the Lord like I should. I mean, he bothers me. And I'm not telling you that I'm the greatest Christian that there ever was, but he bothers me. He wants to fight. And listen, I think the more that we desire and act to serve God and do what's right, he said, yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I believe the devil's going to bother you, friend. I know we've got our flesh to contend with. I understand that. I know that. But I'm not preaching on that tonight. I'm preaching on the devil, our adversary. He's dirty, and so therefore he wants you to live dirty. He wants you to think dirty. He wants you to act dirty. He wants you to talk dirty. He wants you to have a dirty atmosphere at your home and on the job and all these things. You know what's hurt Christianity more than anything? Dirty Christians. Talk and a walk and just their actions have hurt Christianity more than anything because we've not lived separate like we should. What was it in Romans 12? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed in your mind, that you may prove what is good and the perfect and acceptable will of God. Instead of being conformed to the world, the nasty, dirty world, listen, that is sin cursed, we are to be transformed from this thing. But yet Satan wants us to look like it and act like it. And so when When you get around putting, now I believe in being real, okay? I believe in being real. I don't want to put on an air. I don't want to do that thing. But listen to me. When you get around folk that are sold out, you ever seen folk that are just trying to straddle the line a little bit, and they get around folk that are sold out. I mean, sold out to God. Man, they'll always criticize the people that are sold out to God. They always try to find something wrong with them. They want to talk about them. About maybe how they raise their family. About all these things. You know, they're homeschooling their children. Boy, I can get on the soapbox out of your face, Jacob. The problem is you're living over here and you're looking at what you should be doing. But you're not going to do what you should be doing. So we'll criticize what they're doing. Shame on us. He's dirty, so he wants us to be dirty. You know, cleaning things up in your life is kind of like cleaning things up in your house. I'll never forget, I was talking to one of our church members one time. And he says, and man, it's so simple. It's just that little stuff that sometimes just makes a light bulb go off in your head. He says, you know, you sweep, you don't quit sweeping the floor because you know that the floor is going to get dirty again. What do you say? Well, if you sweep it today, chances are it'll probably get dirty tomorrow. And if you sweep it tomorrow, it'll get dirty the next day. But let me ask you something. If we didn't sweep the floor, how dirty would it get? And how much dirt is permissible? I'm asking you a question to think. I want you to think for just a second. How much dirt on your floor is permissible? How much will you let go until you have to sweep it up and clean it? One of the first things that my mother, when I was growing up at home, and I think she still does this, probably not as much now that she's retired, but one of the first things she done when she walked in the door, when she was working, is she got a broom and a dustpan and swept the floor. The first thing she done. I mean, I've watched her do it. Why? I couldn't stand no dirt on the floor. Why is it we stand a little dirt in our life? You know, we don't want a whole lot of dirt, but we can stand just a little bit of dirt. Why is that? But ain't you glad that the Lord come down to this dirt? I got to thinking about this, and boy, I thought, you know what? He left heaven to put on a body like us. It's made from dirt. Ain't that what he told Adam over in chapter 3? He said, dust out, you know, dust you made, dust you going to return. Ain't that what Christ done? He come and put on the dirt. And he come and bore our sin so that we could live in him and that we could be clean in him and holy in him. You know, there's nothing wrong with living holy and righteous. Nothing wrong with it. But ain't you glad Christ came down? I got a message I preach sometimes. You know, he looked down. He came down. He laid down. I'm glad he came down, friend. Number 3, Satan is destructive. He's not only deceptive and he's not only dirty, but he's destructive. We go back to 1 Peter 5:8. He said, "Be so." What is he said? "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour." He is out to destroy you. That word "destructive" means to ruin or to lay waste. That's what he wants to do with our relationship with God. Is that not what he done with Adam back here in Genesis chapter 3? Did he not ruin Adam's relationship with God? I mean, Adam virtually ruined it. I understand that. I know that. But it was on the entrance of Satan coming in. Listen, I God come down in the cool of the day. His voice did. And he said, "Where art thou?" And the Bible said that Adam went and hid because I heard that voice. And he said, "I was afraid. And I hid myself because I was naked." He knew there was something wrong. And he couldn't come before God. You know what he wants to do with us? He wants to keep us out of our relationship with God. He wants to destroy your relationship. He wants to destroy your relationship with your husband or with your wife. He wants to destroy your relationship. He wants to destroy your home. Because he knows that if he can destroy your home, he can destroy the church. I mean, my church right here, and I call it my church because I pastor here. I try my best to protect it. I try to under-shepherd this thing. But you know, this whole church right here is made up of families. I mean, it's no disrespect when I say this. It's made up of older families. It's made up of young families. It's made up of middle-aged families. But he's trying his best to destroy you and destroy your home and destroy your children, destroy your relationship with Christ. He wants to destroy your testimony because he knows that if he can destroy your testimony, that you're no good in that for the cause of Christ. He wants to destroy and ruin your mind. He wants to corrupt your mind. Like I say, that's why I fight him that a lot. If he could come in one fell swoop and destroy you, he would. But we would see him, wouldn't we? But if he can just come in a little at a time. You remember I was talking about the dirt a few minutes ago? A little dirt, a little dirt, and a little dirt, and a little dirt. And you know, you get a little dirt, a little dirt, a little dirt, a little dirt, and it makes quite a big pile of dirt, doesn't it? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed unto the Word of God. See, again, he wants you to doubt the Word of God. Do you understand it all revolves around this thing right here? If he could destroy you in one fell swoop, he would, but he can't. Most of the time. It's a little at a time. And he chips away and he chips away and he beats it. And as long as you keep letting him do that, as long as you keep letting him work in you and work on you and work with you, and you keep listening and you keep doubting and you keep wondering, well, did God really mean? Did God say? Did yeah, he did. Is that not how he got the children of Israel just a little at a time? It took them a while, but they finally turned their back upon God. That brings me to number four, the defeating of Satan. He does not have to defeat us. You know, a lot of people they talk about the woe is me, and I get in that shape sometimes, the woe is me attitude, and well, I'm just a sinner and I've got a sin and I can't live right and do right because I'm in the flesh. No, that's wrong, friend. You can live right and do right. You do have a choice to live right and do right. You do have control of your flesh. Well, there's the defeating of Satan. I'm glad in Genesis chapter 3 when the Lord made that prophecy over there talking about her seed is going to bruise your head. You'll bruise his heel, but she'll bruise your head. And boy, that was at Calvary. You know, he defeated Satan at Calvary. And in Revelation chapter 20 in judgment, he's going to destroy. And I'm glad for that. I'm tired of Sleuthfoot. I'm tired of the devil. I hate the devil. I tell the Lord that from time to time. I tell myself that too. I hate him. I hate the devil. So how do we win? How do we keep from getting defeated? And how do we win? Well, if you go back to what the Lord Jesus Christ done in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, then it's in Scripture. Again, why do you think Satan wants you to doubt Scripture? Why do you think Satan wants you to doubt what God said? I mean, all this was out of the book of Deuteronomy. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse 7, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. How did Jesus get Satan to go away? The Word of God. Where thou shalt a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed unto thy word. Word of God. How are we to fight? How are we to fight to defeat Satan? You go to Ephesians chapter 6 and you put on the whole armor of God. Ain't that right? We put on the whole armor of God. He tells us above all, taking the shield of faith. Let me go over here. He said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that thou may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. The truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Every one of those is a defensive mechanism, except the sword. And that's an offensive weapon. The shield, defensive. That your feet, preparation of the gospel, defensive. We go out, it carries us, that's what takes us. I understand that. But when we have to go fight, the only thing that He gave us was the sword, and that's this book right here. Why do you think Satan wants you to doubt what this book says? You can't win if you're doubting it. James 4 and 7, he said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You've got to be submitted unto the Lord. You've got to be sold out. He says, you stand. We submit and we stand. And we stand with the breastplate of righteousness and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the shield of faith, that we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When He's throwing that stuff at us and making us doubt. Throw that shield up there and say, I'm believing the Lord. I'm submitting to Him. I'm trusting Him. But there comes a time when we have to draw that sword. We've got the helmet of salvation on. That protects our mind. We know we're saved. We know we're kept. And then we draw the sword out and we begin to fight. You say, well, it seems like a constant battle. The Apostle Paul fell into the same thought and was the same thought. In 2 Corinthians 12, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there's given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. There's been a lot of people contending about what that was. I believe it is what it says, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. Lest I should be exalted above measure, for this thing I besought the Lord Christ, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God can get more out of us if we just be honest with Him and say, Lord, I'm fighting this, I'm struggling in this battle, I'm fighting this battle, Lord, I'm trusting You, and He can help us. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He said, the messenger of Satan came to buffet me. In other words, that means he was striking on him. He was beating on him. And Paul said, I'll just keep fighting. I'll just keep fighting. Friend, I'm going to tell you what, if he shows up every day, you just keep fighting. You draw the sword out and you fight with the Word of God. The truth of the Word of God. Don't let him get you doubting the Word of God. You fight with the truth of the Word of God. You submit to the Lord. You sell out and you fight with this book right here and go on and serve the Lord. I pray this message has been a help to you. I pray it's been a blessing to you. Let me encourage you. The one thing that Satan wants to do to you is keep you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to think that you can get to heaven some other way. But until you come to Jesus, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden and I'll give you rest. And the Lord can do that. If you'll trust Him, He will save you today. Heavenly Father, we come to You. We thank You. We pray that You'll bless this message as it goes out and that over the internet, on the radio, our ways. I pray that You'll bless it and let it be help to people. Teach us, Lord, in that how to fight the devil. With Your help and with Your Word. And Lord, just to rest on Your strength and in the power of Your might. And I pray, Lord, that we could defeat him by Your help and Your strength. Lord, if he's got somebody convinced that there's some other way to get to heaven, Lord, I pray that they would open their eyes and, Lord, that You'd open their eyes and let them see that they need to trust You. And only by trusting You can they get saved. Help the one that might be in sin today. And Lord, get them out of the snares of the devil. And we'll tell you that we love You and thank You. Help us and that, Lord, to be vigilant and to be watching for the devil and to ever be looking for Your coming. And we'll tell you that we love You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.